Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're diving into
Pfizer,
you know,
the big one.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical giant, exactly. Mm-hmm. Their third quarter reports for 2024 just came out.
Yep.
And we're going to break it all down.
That's right.
We got their 10Q filing,
uh-huh.
Which is their detailed report to the SEC.
Right.
And a transcript of their earnings call.
Okay.
Where they talked to analysts and laid out, like, their game plan.
Yeah, it's kind of like we get a backstage pass.
Okay.
To see how the, you know.
Yeah.
One of the biggest players in pharmaceuticals, how they actually operate, how they think about things.
Exactly.
So we'll sift through all the jargon, all the numbers, and try to make sense of it for you.
Yeah. So forget the boring spreadsheets, right?
Exactly.
We're here to find those nuggets of insight that make you go, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
So first, let's just get a feel for their overall performance this past quarter. Did Pfizer make bank or break the bank?
Well, their revenue jumped a significant 31%.
Wow.
Reaching $17.7 billion.
Okay.
To put that in perspective, that's like adding the entire GDP of a small country to their top line.
Okay, so 31% sounds like they're making bank.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
But what is driving this growth?
Right.
Is it all about like the COVID treatments?
Well, it's a mix, actually.
Okay.
Paxlovid, their COVID-19 treatment is still performing well, you know, as COVID-19 is stabilizing.
Yeah.
But their Vyndaqel family,
okay,
which treats a rare heart condition,
yeah,
is also bringing in a lot of revenue.
Okay.
And we can't forget their recent acquisition of Seagen,
right,
a powerhouse in oncology.
Mm-hmm.
Their legacy Seagen products are definitely contributing to this growth.
So it's not just a one-trick pony.
No, not all.
They got a diversified portfolio?
Exactly.
Okay, but you know,
yeah,
what goes up must come down.
Unfortunately, that's true in a lot of cases.
So are there any areas where they're facing, like, headwinds?
You're right. It's not all smooth sailing.
Okay.
Xeljanz and Abrance.
Okay.
Two of their key drugs for rheumatoid arthritis and breast cancer.
Yeah.
Saw declines.
Okay, setbacks for key drugs, that's got to sting a little.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
What's behind these declines?
Competition seems to be playing a role.
Okay.
You know, the pharmaceutical landscape is constantly changing, and new players are emerging with their own treatments.
Right, right.
Plus, patents expire.
Yeah.
Generics enter the market.
Okay.
And things get shaken up.
Makes sense.
It's a constant race to stay ahead.
It makes you realize just how dynamic the pharmaceutical industry is.
Absolutely.
It's not just like develop a drug and, you know, call it a day.
No.
It's like
this complex ecosystem,
of competition and like innovation.
Mm.
All right. So speaking of innovation.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears and look at Pfizer's pipeline.
Okay. Sounds good.
What new treatments are they, you know, brewing in their labs?
They've got a lot cooking.
Okay, spill the beans.
Targeting everything from cancer and eczema to, and this might surprise you.
Okay.
Vitiligo.
Vitiligo.
Yeah.
Interesting. So as in like
the
condition where you get patches of skin that lose their color.
Exactly. That's right.
Are they developing a new drug for that?
It seems so, yeah.
Wow.
They're investigating ritlecitinib, which is currently approved for severe alopecia areata as a potential treatment for non-segmental vitiligo.
Okay.
It works by targeting something called the JAK-STAT pathway, which plays a key role in immune responses. So think of it like a chain reaction in your body's defense system.
Right.
And this drug kind of disrupts that chain in a specific way that helps with alopecia.
Yeah.
Now they're seeing if it can do the same for vitiligo.
Ah, so they're like repurposing a drug for a new application.
Repurposing, yeah. Leveraging existing knowledge.
Right.
And potentially speeding up the development process.
Smart.
Yeah.
But they're not just repurposing old drugs, right?
No, they're not.
What else are they doing?
They're also making waves with first-in-class antibodies.
Okay.
Two trial-specific antibodies are showing promising results for atopic dermatitis.
Atopic dermatitis, that's like eczema, right?
Exactly, yeah.
A lot of people struggle with that.
It's a common condition.
What's so special about these antibodies?
Well, they're aiming for improved efficacy.
Okay.
And a more convenient delivery method.
All right, like what?
Think less frequent injections. Or maybe even a pill.
Interesting.
That's a game changer for patients.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially those dealing with chronic conditions.
Convenience and effectiveness.
That's what you want.
That's a winning combination.
Yeah.
But all of this research, this development.
It doesn't come cheap.
It doesn't come cheap.
No.
So how are they performing commercially with their current drugs?
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay.
Prevnar 20, their pneumonia vaccine.
Okay, yeah.
Is dominating the market.
Dominating, okay.
We're talking 83% market share in pediatrics.
Wow.
And a whopping 97% in adults.
Those are huge numbers.
They're doing very well with that one.
What are they doing right with this one?
Right.
Is it the marketing?
Yeah.
Is it
relationships with doctors?
Is it something special about the vaccine itself?
It's definitely a success story worth analyzing.
Yeah.
And it gets even more interesting.
Oh.
The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recently recommended expanding adult pneumococcal vaccination to include everyone aged 50 and older.
So their market share could go even higher.
Potentially, yeah.
Talk about a gold mine.
Right.
But it's not just about Prevnar 20.
No, it's not.
What about Abrysvo?
Okay.
Their RSV vaccine. How's that one doing?
Abrysvo is steadily gaining traction.
Okay, so they're gaining traction. But how are they doing that?
They're using a mix of strategies to win over doctors and patients.
What's different about their approach?
Well, they're laser focused on making the vaccine accessible and convenient.
Right.
Nobody wants a complicated medical experience.
Makes sense.
But they're also actively engaging with healthcare providers to build confidence in the vaccine.
So they're not just targeting patients.
Yeah, sure.
They're trying to get doctors on board.
Exactly.
Okay, smart.
Building that trust on both sides is really crucial.
Okay, now we can't talk about Pfizer without addressing the elephant in the room.
The big one.
Paxlovid.
Yep.
With COVID seemingly stabilizing.
Right.
What is the future for this blockbuster drug?
They've acknowledged that Paxlovid demand has likely plateaued.
Okay, so it's leveled off.
Yeah, for now.
But are they just twiddling their thumbs?
They're not just sitting around. They're already looking ahead.
To what?
With a next generation antiviral.
What's it called?
Called Ibusatrelvir.
Ibu what?
Ibusatrelvir.
Okay, break that down.
It's a mouthful.
What's different?
They're highlighting some key improvements.
Okay, look what.
For one, it boasts robust antiviral activity without the need for ritonavir boosting.
Okay.
Plus, they've addressed some of those pesky side effects associated with Paxlovid.
Okay.
Like those drug interactions.
Right.
And the infamous metallic taste.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That some patients experienced.
Yeah, I've heard about that one.
It wasn't pleasant for some people.
Not pleasant at all.
Yeah, they're really focused on making it a better experience this time around.
Yeah, got to get rid of that metallic taste.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's be real. Developing these new drugs.
Yeah.
Costly.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So how is Pfizer managing its finances overall?
Right.
Are they making smart money moves to ensure, long-term success?
Well, they're definitely juggling a lot.
Okay. On the financial front.
Okay.
First off, they've implemented some pretty serious cost-cutting programs.
Okay, how serious are we talking?
Aimed at saving billions of dollars.
Billions with a B.
Billions, yeah.
Wow, but how do you even do that at a company this big?
Right.
What are they cutting?
Well, they're streamlining operations.
Okay.
Optimizing manufacturing processes, restructuring certain areas of the business.
So basically becoming leaner and meaner.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. But freeing up resources for future investment.
Right. So cost cutting isn't their only financial strategy.
Got it.
Okay. What else are they doing?
They've also been strategically selling off parts of their stake in Haleon.
Haleon, the consumer healthcare company.
That's the one.
I remember when it spun off, but why are they selling off chunks now?
It seems they're aiming to use those proceeds to support their capital allocation priorities.
Okay, break that down.
Think debt reduction, share buybacks.
And of course, continued investment in that pipeline we were talking about.
Right. So free up cash, pay down debt.
Yeah.
Keep investors happy.
Exactly.
And invest in the future.
A delicate balancing act.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But is everyone happy with how Pfizer is managing its money and its future?
Not everyone is singing their praises.
Okay, who's not happy?
Well, we've got activist investor Starboard Value.
Uh-oh.
Who've been pretty vocal.
About what?
In their criticisms, yeah.
Okay, so what are they unhappy about?
They're pushing for changes.
Okay.
And expressing concerns about certain aspects of Pfizer's performance.
Such as?
Well, they've raised concerns about Pfizer's capital deployment strategy.
Okay.
Particularly regarding their business development activities.
So they're saying Pfizer needs to step up its game.
Basically, yeah.
How's Pfizer responding to this pressure?
Pfizer's acknowledging Starboard's input.
Okay.
But they're also standing their ground.
Okay, so a bit of a standoff.
You could say that, yeah.
Interesting. But let's shift our focus from
the
present to the future.
Sounds good.
2024 is almost over.
That's right.
What's on the horizon for Pfizer?
Right.
What's their roadmap?
Well, if we look at their financial projections,
okay,
they're anticipating continued revenue growth.
Okay, so more growth.
Yeah, but they're also being cautious.
Cautious, why?
They're acknowledging that growth might moderate somewhat.
Moderate, okay.
And they're highlighting some potential headwinds.
Headwinds, what kind of challenges are we talking about?
Well, they're well aware of the looming threat of new competition.
Of course, the pharmaceutical industry.
Cutthroat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to have to,
keep innovating.
Innovate. Stay on top of things.
What is keeping them up at night?
Well, there's the ever-present pressure of drug pricing.
Drug pricing, yeah. That's a hot topic.
Governments and insurance companies are constantly scrutinizing drug costs.
Right.
And there's always that push to make treatments more affordable.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act.
Yeah, it is.
But aside from competition and pricing?
Yeah.
Any other challenges?
Let's not forget about government regulations.
Yes, the regulatory wild card.
Always lurking in the background.
You never know what's going to come out.
Exactly. It's something they'll need to monitor closely.
So with all these potential headwinds,
yeah,
are there any bright spots on the horizon?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
They've got several potential blockbusters in the pipeline that could really boost their revenue.
Give us a sneak peek. Which ones are they excited about?
One that stands out is Litfulo.
Litfulo, okay.
Which is being investigated as a treatment for vitiligo.
So for that skin condition we talked about earlier.
That's the one.
If it gets approved,
mm-hmm.
Could be huge, right?
Potentially, yeah.
What other late stage candidates are looking good?
They're also quite optimistic about Arexvio.
Arexvio, okay.
Which targets multiple myeloma.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a few other promising candidates in the works, addressing various conditions from certain types of cancer to hemophilia.
So they've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, you could say that.
Covering a pretty diverse range of...
Like broad spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therapeutic areas.
Exactly.
But drug development?
Yeah.
It's a risky business.
It is, very much so.
Not every candidate makes it to market.
Unfortunately not.
So what if some of these potential blockbusters don't pan out?
It's a possibility, but Pfizer has a long history of success in this area.
Okay.
They've built a diverse portfolio.
Yeah.
And they're continuously investing in R&D to mitigate those risks.
So spreading the risk and innovating.
That's the name of the game.
But it's not just about individual drugs.
No.
Pfizer is actively trying to shape the future of the entire industry.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, they're engaging in conversations about critical issues.
Like what?
Facing the industry, the impact of government regulations on drug pricing and access.
Drug pricing? Yeah, that's a global issue.
It is.
It's a challenge everywhere.
Finding that sweet spot between promoting innovation and ensuring affordability is tough.
For sure. But it sounds like Pfizer is trying to be a proactive voice.
They're trying to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, okay.
But beyond all the financials, the pipelines, the market battles, why should someone like you care about all this?
That's a great question. It's easy to get lost in the numbers, the jargon.
What's the technical stuff?
So why should the average person care
Yeah.
About what Pfizer's doing.
Here's why it matters.
Okay.
Pfizer's activities have a ripple effect
okay.
that extends far beyond their balance sheets.
Okay.
They're at the forefront of developing treatments and vaccines
yeah.
that impact millions of lives.
So it's about more than just profits and losses.
It's about improving or even saving lives.
Right. So understanding how Pfizer operates
yeah.
provides insights into like...
the whole industry, yeah.
This complex industry.
Exactly.
It plays such a crucial role.
Absolutely.
In healthcare, in our lives.
It's a reminder that behind the financial figures,
right.
there are real people whose lives are being touched
yeah.
by the decisions these companies make.
It's about the human impact.
Exactly.
Now, I'm curious, what's your overall take on
yeah.
Pfizer's strategy?
What's fascinating to me is their ability to balance short-term financial goals
okay.
with those long-term investments in innovation.
So they're trying to appease shareholders?
You got to keep everyone happy.
Yeah, but also...
push the boundaries of yeah. scientific discovery.
A tricky act to pull off.
It's a tough one.
And what about their response to
yeah.
activist investors like Starboard Value?
Well, it's a delicate dance.
Yeah.
It's important for companies like Pfizer
yeah.
to engage in constructive dialogue
okay.
with all their stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
including those who might have different perspectives.
So they need to listen.
They got to be open to feedback,
yeah.
but also stay true to their vision.
Right.
Yeah.
As we wrap up this deep dive,
right.
what's one key takeaway for our listeners?
If we connect this back to the big picture,
yeah.
Pfizer's story is really a microcosm
oh,
of
yeah.
the challenges and opportunities
yeah.
facing the entire pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
They're grappling with issues like drug pricing,
mm-hmm.
access to healthcare, the evolving regulatory landscape.
Right. Complex issues.
No easy answers.
So stay informed.
Yes.
Stay engaged.
Absolutely.
Participate in these important conversations.
It's crucial.
It's a reminder that we're all stakeholders.
We are.
In this system.
We all have a role to play.
Yeah, there's always more to uncover,
mm-hmm.
more to learn.
For sure.
More to question.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about Pfizer.
No.
It's about the whole industry.
Right. Their story. Their challenges, their decisions.
Why?
It all reflects the broader state of the pharmaceutical industry.
It makes you think about the role these massive corporations play in our world.
They do, yeah.
They're not just like these
yeah.
faceless entities churning out pills and profits.
They have a huge impact.
Yeah. They have the power to shape our health.
Absolutely.
Our lives, our future.
They hold a tremendous amount of power and influence. And with that power comes responsibility
yeah.
to act ethically, to prioritize patient well-being.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it's a tall order.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From Pfizer's financials.
Yeah.
Their pipeline.
All the exciting new treatments.
The pressures they're facing.
The activist investors.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating glimpse.
It has.
Behind the curtain of this pharmaceutical giant.
One of the biggest.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners are walking away with a deeper understanding, not just of Pfizer, but of the whole industry.
It's a reminder that behind all the financials and corporate jargon,
right.
there are real people.
Real people's lives.
Whose lives are being impacted.
Absolutely. Their research.
By these decisions.
Their drugs, their pricing strategies.
It yeah.
all has a ripple effect.
It goes beyond the boardroom.
Far beyond.
It's about the human impact.
And engaging in these conversations about the future of healthcare.
We got to move beyond those simple narratives.
Yeah, the sound bites.
Yeah.
And really delve into the complexities.
Right.
The trade-offs.
And that's what we've tried to do today, right?
That we aim for every time.
To go beyond the headlines and...
provide a more nuanced look.
Yeah, a more insightful perspective.
Exactly.
So what's the most important takeaway?
Okay, if I had to pick one...
Yeah.
Stay curious.
Okay.
Stay informed.
Mm-hmm.
And never underestimate the power of asking questions.
And demanding answers.
Exactly. The future of healthcare depends on it.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Into Pfizer's third quarter.
Yeah. Always a lot to talk about with Pfizer.
Yeah. Always a lot going on.
It's a fascinating company.
We hope you found it informative.
Insightful, yeah.
Insightful and maybe even a little...
thought-provoking.
Thought-provoking.
Yeah.
That's what we aim for.
Until next time, stay curious. We'll be right back.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.